In the 20 years that Marcos held on to power, it was evident how he used media to his advantage, and how, with all justice, media hurled him out of power at the end of his dictatorship. In 1972, when he declared martial law, media became the primary target of his military force. Marcos assumed monopoly of the media, where his decrees ruled as law. Even with the killing of Ninoy Aquino, the country was deprived of being a witness to the tragic event. As the whole world witnessed the tragic assassination, the Marcos-controlled media practically ignored the momentous events, which created international uproar. But this proved to be a regime's undoing. For existing side by side with the Marcos propaganda were the underground documentaries, which tried to expose the real socio-political situation in the country. Whereas Marcos propaganda enjoyed continuous exposure in television and movie houses, the underground documentary, oftentimes shot in clandestine fashion, had to find venue in discreet private screenings or by circulating taped video copies. Marcos was the clear villain in these underground works. But every villain needed a hero, and the hero, Ninoy Aquino, was dead. Somebody else caught the collective imagination of the Filipino people. The grieving widow, Cory Aquino, became the rallying symbol of hope for a people long suppressed of their freedom. The public saw in the real-life drama between the dictator and the widow all the elements of a soap opera. And they all rallied behind her when the military finally turned against its master.
America loves the Philippines, and America loves Cory Aquino.
In 1946, the United States gave the Philippines its independence. Since then, the country has been ruled by Filipinos. But the great white colonial master never really left the country. In many subtle ways, it has scripted and directed the great American production in Asia called the Philippine Republic. With a sham independence, the country was never really free of America.
Well, hello, you dumplet, Peter. And how are our bases today?
Fine, and thank you, Mr. Busa Boy.
As I promised, we are not going to talk about the bases today.
Oh, thank you for not talking about the bases, Busa Boy.
And of course, we are not going to tell you how important our bases are.
About the bases, Busa Boy.
And of course, we are not going to warn you that without the bases, you can kiss the Marshall Plan goodbye.
Oh, thank you for not talking about the bases, Busa Boy.
And furthermore, American businessman asked me not to tell you that without the bases, there will be no American investors in Dumplismandia.
Thank you for not talking about the bases, Busa.
And lastly, you dumplet, Tita,
yes?
We are not going to tell you that if you force us to remove the bases, we will be forced to remove you.
Ah!
this shift culminated in climax in 1986, when people who were all these years trying to escape from the harshness of the Marcos realities and the Marcos truths, suddenly didn't want to escape that reality. Why? Because the heroes were they. The hero was Cory Aquino, was ordinary. And with her were all these supporting players who were all ordinary citizens. And they all felt that they had to be part of this live drama, of this live scenario.
Television, for example, is second nature to our people. Whatever you do, whatever you think, whatever you feel like eating or tasting or experiencing, it was dictated to you by television. You may be not conscious about it, but it was. And all our values we take from television because we are a TV viewing audience. And because of this very strong influence of the medium, we have to be able to take control. It's empowerment. We call it empowerment of the people of the medium. This medium has been used against the people. We have to give it back to the people because it should be owned by the people. Then the people should dictate their own lives. So let them see reality as they see reality. Let them see the reality, put that into a box for all the other people to see it. For you to be able to share your experiences, your aspirations, your ideals.
Kinida, ngano araro ko nyo kanang kambalay mi, sumusuporta kami kuno kang NPA. Makabibibig kami lubete ba nga galing kang komanta baka pagkamalanda kami nga NPA.
Departing from the predominant escapist tradition of Philippine television, Andog ng Peta embarks on a progressive dramatization of stories on the issue of national sovereignty. This episode, entitled Ang Babaeng Itawis, chronicled the military harassments and atrocities committed against the cultural minorities, as exemplified by a woman of the Itawis tribe. The story deals with the sensitive topic of militarization, something that was bequeathed by the deposed regime, which until today haunts the present Aquino administration.
Nabadyoyo, inaki ko niya lamesa.
Paano sa kanin sa lamesa?
Pero, maring inaki ni Laspa.
Oh my God.
Katuho, ikwadigin na kanya lungong.
A lot of people have this notion that militarization happened during the dictatorship only, and it stopped right there. But we believe that as long as this is very political, but as long as the Americans have interest in the country, there will always be a continuing program that will have the military in an active position. Because this is what we call the low-intensity conflict. They will always develop programs that will curtail expression by people through military force. So actually, in some of our experiences, there have been worse military attacks against ordinary people. Let's say, take the Mindoro massacre, for example. That was a terrible attack, which was one even worse than the other attacks that the dictatorship did on our people.
We were the very first ones to celebrate during the triumph of the so-called People's Revolution. In fact, we went out with a caravan of artists to bring culture to communities which in the past wouldn't have even heard the songs and seen the place of cultural workers. We celebrated because there was hope. But ironically, a year after, as early as a year after, we'd already hear news of members of cultural workers in the regions being picked up by vigilante groups, decapitated. Would hear of whole groups in Negros who would have to lie low because of warnings from the local vigilante groups. You would hear of trade union workers and cultural workers among trade union members who would be continually harassed. And we began to reassess and began to reflect on what really happened during the People's Revolution.
Aside from inheriting a bankrupt economy, Cory Aquino also inherited a strong, highly politicized military with a mind of its own.
We see it, the major problem of the country is basically poverty. And it just so happened that there are hundreds, thousands of people who have taken a different option. These people have taken the option to fight with arms the government because the government seems to refuse to solve the problem of poverty. And the government, in conjunction with the United States of America, have made this a major problem. They have bloated the problem of insurgency as a major problem. It's democracy versus communism. It's that crap. It's the Red Scare. They're using this on the people, for the people to get their minds off the major issues of poverty. The economic problem of our people, the fact that people go hungry, can be covered up by fear of some Reds taking over your country. And because of that, you forget that there is this problem. You forget that the elite are still in control. You forget all this. So we cannot get away from the fact that this is a very hot issue, and it always comes out, whether on the conscious or the subconscious level of our artists, of our writers, of our directors. It does come out, especially with the experiences of our cultural workers. For instance, when I was working in the provinces, militarization is an actual experience. You see that. It's not like Manila. Manila is whenever there's a coup d'etat, you see soldiers. But there, you see soldiers practicing for battle on the streets. You see vigilantes. You see all these cults, paramilitary forces on the streets. You get harassed. You perform. We used to perform on stage, and we get blackouts. We get people. I used to get this. We get people at your backs, following you, giving you beady eyes. So in different contexts, we have experienced military harassment, and this is only because they want to silence us.
M-I-S-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-A. Hey, Ichabod, my friend, you're looking good, you dumb flip mouth.
Oi, Mickey, you white?
Yeah. Yay!
Gringo?
Ooh!
Bats?
Yay!
Hey,
there, Ichabod, you know. What's wrong with nukes? Don't you know that a nukes a day keeps the communists away?
Away.
Don't you know a nukes a day is keeping the peace?
The peace.
Don't you know that nukes is saving the world?
We are the world.
The three centuries of Spanish colonization and the continuing presence of American domination have bred a society of dependence and damaged a culture that would take long and hard to repair.
Balik, 6 o'clock news po tayo. Sabi yata noon ni Karl Marx, o sa Tagalog, Marx Carlvarado. Capitalists and landlords will fall when worker and peasants arise. Sa Tagalog, kemayaman, kemahirap, kumakain ng bigas. At dahil dito, hindi matanggihan ng governments ang hiling ng mga magsasaka tungkol sa presyo ng palay. In fact, noong isang linggo, pumayag na ang government na itaas ng 50 centavos ang presyo ng palay. Ito makaraang mag-demonstrate ang mga magsasaka at magbantang kapag hindi itinaas ang presyo ng palay, maghahasik sila ng gulo at aani ng dugo ang government. Gets it?
Lintik ang matanda ka! Anak ka ng patukwa sa manok! Pag inabutan kita ngayon, tatadtarin kitang pino-pino! Kaya humanda ka!
Neat job, pal.
Posibleng totoo ang ulat na ito dahil kamakailan lang may demonstrasyon na naman sa harap ng Malacañang para di umano sa panibagong pagtaas ng presyo ng palay.
Aming gagawin ay magme-mainstay kami dito. At pagkatapos, kung hindi pa niya mabibigay ang aming kahilingan, meron pa kaming gagawin ng aklasa ng magbubukid.
Maganda ang gabi. Nandito po tayo ngayon sa harap ng Malacañang kung saan ay may isang grupo ng mga magsasaka na... humihiling na naman na taasan muli ang presyo ng palay. Humihiling nyo daw muling taasan ang presyo ng palay. Pero hindi ba kamakailan lang itinaas na yung presyo ng palay? Teka. Baka totoo yung sinasabi nila na hindi raw yung mga magsasaka ang nakinabang noong unang itaas yung presyo ng palay. Na sa totoo raw, yung mga nakinabang ay yung mga komprador. Teka, nalilito ako. Diba? Kung totoong tuwing itinataas ang presyo ng palay, ang nakikinabang ay yung mga komprador at hindi yung mga magsasaka, bakit yung humihiling muling tasan ang presyo ng palay?
Ha?
Sasagutin niyo naman ako. Bakit niyo inihiling muling tasaan ang presyo ng palay kung ang nakikinabang ay yung mga komprador? Hindi kayo mga magsasaka. Ano ba? Sagutin niyo naman ako. Ano ba? Anong klase kayong magsasaka? Hindi kayo marunong sumagot? Ano?
Hoy! Kaya hindi kami sumasagot. Kasi hindi kami magsasaka. Mga komprador kami. Pinagtutulungan lang namin yung mga magsasaka.
Presyo ng palay, itaas! Presyo ng palay, itaas! Presyo ng palay, itaas! Presyo ng palay!
Oh, God!
Singa ng isang komprador na hindi mamatay-matay sa heart attack dahil walang puso. Long live free enterprise. Sa Tagalog, bitay ng mga beep.
Greetings. We are O King Cole III. And you know, I really am a very merry type person. Pipe, please. And you know, I really do like violin music. But instead of a bowl, I'd rather have a deep dish. Deep dish TV, that is.
Today, most of the information you get from films, from television, from magazines or newspapers are controlled by only 29 corporations. With so many millions of dollars driving these corporations, how can you or I or any other individual be fairly represented in the media? But there is an alternative. Public access offers a unique opportunity to express yourself and explore important issues in your community. There are over 1,500 public access systems nationwide. You're probably watching this show on one right now. It's available on a first-come, first-served basis. So call your local cable system to find out how you can get involved. It's a vital component of our First Amendment rights in the information age. So use it or lose it. What do you think, guys?
You've loved it, though.
One more.
No, you're supposed to say, stay tuned to Deep Dish TV.
There's been in Corey only a romanticized projection that, aha, a widow wearing a dress is sitting in her office in Malacañang where Marcos used to sit, and aha, a woman in a pink dress is saluting the soldiers and the cadets in PMA in Baguio. So it's nice in the way that we watch comedies is nice because it's entertaining. It's nice in the way that we watch fantasy adventures is nice because there's a freak in an otherwise traditional role. There's a carnival on because she's a novelty, which is a good entry point for any important political or social or religious, any kind of movement. It's important, an entry point is important. But she's been trying to stay only at an entry point for 4 years. It's not enough. It's not enough.
In the past 4 years, the stability of the Aquino government has been threatened by no less than 7 times through military coup attempts, 2 of which claiming sizable casualties of innocent civilians. The takeover attempts were staged by the outlawed Reform the Armed Forces Movement, or RAM, led by cashiered Colonel Gregorio Gringo Onassa. This was the same military group which turned against the previous dictator, leading to the EDSA revolt. Gringo Onassan, the hero of EDSA, is now the country's most wanted man.
Yesterday afternoon, our forces went on the offensive, and we are pressing with the attack until the last trace of resistance is removed.
Because of media's role in toppling down the previous regime, media installations have become prime targets for military takeovers.
Takeover can only be worse than the suppression already suffered in the 70s by all media. But what my two shows, Public Forum, a serious public affairs talk show, and 6 o'clock news, which is a news satire, a news spoof, no? What these two shows do is to try and convince and to teach citizens that while they have a major responsibility in installing and selecting or electing a government in place, that quite independent of that, possibly, or despite of it, they would have to learn the lesson of self-reliance, to think for themselves, to act for themselves, and to save themselves from calamities, whether political or natural. Self-reliance for me is the most important lesson that's being taught in Public Forum and 6 o'clock news. And a confidence, an installation of confidence in the citizenry that even if their government should fail, that they don't necessarily have to sink with it because they have the power to revive it or to change it, or to keep it if it's working well. So it's very citizenship oriented. Further, these two shows do not attempt to exhibit balance or fairness because we are not balanced and we're not fair. Because we have a preferential treatment for the Filipino, specifically the poor Filipino, The Filipino that has the least access to power, least access to wealth, least access to the media. It is preferential in that sense. It takes up the cudgel for the people who otherwise would be lost in the din of all these power struggles and political chaos and so on. So that with this kind of a preparation and an installation of self-confidence in the citizenship, we feel that this would create an environment that could not possibly permit the success of a coup unless the citizenship wanted it.
Our people have been dissociated from their reality. We have, it's like being blinded already from what is real. The coup was not real at all. Because, you know, their heroes are FPJ, their heroes are, you know, Nardung Putik. These are all invincible people. They were developed by the medium to become invincible, and they thought it would be that way. A lot of these people died because of mere stupidity, because they believed what they saw on screen. It became a show. It's like your audiences were watching Rambo, we were watching all these war movies, and you see possible heroes, and you follow the stories of the heroes, and then suddenly media would say, this is not the hero anymore, there's another hero, there's another faction that's going on. You transfer to the hero, another hero. But you never become conscious of the real issue. I mean, these are a group of people who are trying to overthrow the government. Who knows how sincere they were? It was like a big show that was put on. Because if they were really after overthrowing the government, they knew how to do it. They knew how it happened in EDSA. Don't tell me they couldn't do it again with all their forces. They did not take conscious control. It was the media who was making a story out of it. It was making all these people more disempowered because they were watching a nice war movie that they could identify with because they saw Filipinos. They could see themselves on TV being in the middle of all this action, and they forgot about the main issue. That the government was already under question. That people were losing sentiments with Aquino. She was losing her popularity. So you have another show, and suddenly you think, there are these factions who are trying to overthrow the government. Suddenly they're not the heroes anymore. They're the antagonists. You go back again to the heroine who was projected long before. So she takes on the role of protagonist. Because she was developed into another heroine because the heroes were projected on media as not real heroes. They were just there, they were allowing themselves to be used, and the people who use them are now in hiding. So they are just as negative as all these, you know, as all these politicians. So you end up looking again at Cory Aquino, the real heroine, and you get again popularity. That's the way I see it. That's the way I see how the story was woven. And all the while, the people never knew that it was a scripted thing, that somebody else was producing this for them, that it was another, you know, another another show. It's just that it came for free. They didn't pay for their tickets to go to a movie. That's the way I see it.
Thank you. they agree to return. To return to barracks voluntarily, and that if they do that voluntarily, they have to face the consequences. But I made some assurances to them that they will be treated fairly, humanely, and justly.
More coups in the near as well in the far future, which is which really shouldn't surprise anybody. A coup will always attempt. Coup attempts will always be there when there is a power vacuum. There is a vacuum in our government. There is a vacuum in the administration. There is no leadership. There is confusion as far as who should take over. Who should hold government, who should design it, and who should be, in effect, in control of the country. The reason that there's so much confusion about that is because nobody's in charge.
Mrs. Aquino was much criticized when she sought the help of the American forces in containing the December 1989 coup attempt. The two U.S. Phantom jets on persuasion flights, dispatched from nearby Clark Air Base, gave Mrs. Aquino's opponent a new issue to use against her.
The Philippines is a sovereign state and should be allowed to handle its own internal affairs.
Against a people that we hate, no. It's against a government policy that we do not agree with. It's against an American government policy of planting on somebody else's space nuclear arms which we don't want, personnel whom we may not want to have in our country. This is, for me, the essence of the struggle of in demanding, for example, that the bases be removed from the Philippines. To begin with, because I want to protect the space I stand on. If I suspect that you've got nuclear arms that could destroy not only my life, but the space that I stand on, I demand that since I know you have more space where you came from, that you go back there.
You is mean to say, Joe, you will helping to me even without there is no military bases?
Of course, you dumb flip. What are friends for?
No. You is mean to say, Joe, because your multinationals is dumping junk food and junk drugs in this country, you will helping to me even without there is no military bases?
Of course, you dumb flip. I mean, what's the matter? You don't trust us, Americans.
Just because we have fun with little dumb flip girls in Olongapo or shoot dumb flip boys in Angeles, you don't trust us? Come.
You is mean to say, Joe, because your American G.I. Joe is making bastos to our generals, you will helping to me even without there's no military bases?
Of course, you dumb flip. I mean, what is the matter?
You are not believed with us Americans? Go on. Take the money, you know. After all, we're friends. Go on. That's the way. Yes, that's the way.
No! You is telling me you is helping to me even without there is no military bases to...
Oh, what's the matter, you dumb flip? You don't like these nice little toys?
No, Giorgio. Please take it away them. Please take it away the bases. I am a prince of the Atumbang.
Atumbang? Okay. If you don't like them, then we'll just have to take them away.
The money, Joe. Joe, the money, Joe.
We're only protectioning the Clark AIDS base.
Which is a Filipino base.
For the protections of you dumb flips.
The courtesy of us Estados Unidos.
Because...
The Filipino actually knows his problem, knows, I mean, any ordinary person, whether he's Filipino or not, that when you're hungry, you have a problem. You have to eat. And if you can't have anything to eat, you're supposed to get mad of the situation because why can't I eat? And I have to work for that. I have to find ways for me to get food. And if I know that that food is being taken away from me consciously by some people who is very greedy, then I fight that greedy person. It's very simple. But you have a Filipino who has this problem, but time and time again has been constantly barraged with all these promotional gimmicks by the people who have their vested interests on his country. He gets very confused. I mean, in our work in cultural, in cultural work, the basic essence of making them creatively expressive is for them to find where their dignity, where they left the real sense of dignity as Filipinos, because somehow they lost it along the way.
Arts and culture can make a difference in terms of the shaping of politics in the country. If you look at our country, much of the politics that we don't want right now has been shaped because of what we call of a culture of silence, a culture that is passive, a culture that accepts, that passively sits and accepts what's given to us. The aim of our arts and literary movement is to break this culture of silence, is to create a whole culture that asserts, a whole culture that responds urgently to times, that says, we know what is happening, this is what we would like to do, this is the action that we would like to take.
But as long as you don't get out that Western, that colonial in the Filipino, the path towards making the Filipinos see that their sovereignty is something that they should protect is very difficult.
When we say a nationalist culture, we basically mean a pro-people culture. We mean a culture that enhances nationalism, that enhances self-determination. So this doesn't mean that it's going to be a culture that excludes the possibility of foreign influence or totally negates the influence of the colonial periods in our history. It's just a culture that shall affirm. It is an affirming kind of culture, affirms the indigenous roots, affirms all the positive colonial contributions to the culture, projects this culture towards a self-determined culture, enhances the regional characteristics of each culture.
I feel that I can still be part of a struggle whose end in view is to create in the people who live in the Philippines, in 7,100 islands, no, a sense that they have a nation with common roots and that they don't need to depend on international dole-outs and international assistance or international intervention or international meddling to be able to feed themselves and clothe themselves and to form and cultivate their own dreams and to pursue these dreams on their own. Because for me, in essence, then that would be the improvement of his human condition given the territory and the space where he lives. I think all mankind ought to, at the very least, give each other the space where he stands, that in that space he can be respected, and that in the space where he lives or in the space where he stands, he can dream on his own. Nobody will snatch or rob the air that he breathes in that little space that he stands on.
For more than four centuries, the Philippines has convulsed with all sorts of violence that have shaped the history of its people. Under the signs of the sword and the cross, the natives cowered under Spanish rule. With the coming of the Americans, Filipinos were subjected to a military power which, until now, exerts its might within the Asia-Pacific region. But in the face of all these, the Filipinos have become undaunted in their search for freedom. In the face of violence, they have summoned courage to fight against foreign invaders and dictators. Complete sovereignty for the Filipino must one day be attained.
Ang lupang pinanggalingan ko'y may bahin ng dugo. May mga lorong di makalipad na sahaw ng ginto. May mga punong walang dahon, mga pusong di makakibo. Sa mga pangyayaring nagaganap sa lupang pinangako. Kabulukan hanggang sa lumago. Ngayon ang puso'y may takot sa lupang ipinangako. Lapit mga kaibigan at makinig kayo. Ako'y may naladalang balita galing sa bayan ko. Nais kong ipamahagi ang mga kwento at mga pangyayari nagaganap sa lupa, ipinangako. Dati-rati ang mga bukid ay kulay ginto. Dati-rati ang mga ipon singlaya ng tao. Dati-rati ay katahimikan ang musikang nagpapatulog sa mga batang walang huwang sa mundo.